Welcome back to We Are Alcohol Free. I'm your host, Simon Tomlinson, and this is a podcast all about stopping drinking. On today's episode, I'm very excited to be speaking with the sober yoga girl, Alex McRobs, who is a Canadian now living in Abu Dhabi. She has her own business called The Mindful Life Practice, where she teaches yoga to people all over the world on Zoom, and she's also a sober coach to help people with their own aspirations to stop drinking. So without further ado, let's meet Alex. Hi, Alex, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you, Simon?
Yeah, I'm very good, thanks. And I'm looking forward to speaking to you and finding out more about your story with alcohol and the other things that you do in your life, including the yoga and being a sober coach. So first of all, I'd just like to find out a bit of background about you and your history with alcohol. Can you tell me a bit about when you first started drinking and how you found it escalated over time?
Yeah. So I was born in Canada, raised in Canada until I was 23. And then I moved to the Middle East, originally to Kuwait, tiny country between Saudi Arabia and Iraq. And I was there for 2 years. And then I moved to Abu Dhabi. The whole thing about how I started drinking, it's really interesting because I actually, this summer, I was working on writing a memoir. And I've really had a lot of time to reflect on my journey kind of led to the point where it is now. And I think I had this like pivotal experience as a teenager. Like obviously alcohol was like part of my upbringing in Canada. You know, my family members drank, my friends drank. I saw alcohol all around me. But when I was at a particular experience when I was 15 and when I was in high school, at the beginning of high school and even throughout middle school, I was like never very cool. I was just kind of like this random girl. And then this older guy asked me out and became my boyfriend. And all of a sudden I was like extremely cool. And he was taking me to these parties and we were drinking alcohol. And it's really interesting because I look back on that period of my life and I'm like, this was this fundamental experience that drinking alcohol and having a boyfriend made me cool. And even if I wasn't conscious of this being an experience that shaped me, it did. And so for a long time as a teenager, after that, I thought that like, you know, going to parties and getting drunk and having a boyfriend would like make me cool. And that kind of like shaped and guided my like teenage and middle school, or sorry, and university years, which is like bizarre. But that is kind of how I ended up sort of on this path of like becoming this party girl because I thought it was like very cool. And then where I really came face to face with it, like throughout my university career, it was just everyone drank alcohol in Canada. So there was nothing that abnormal about it. But when I moved to Kuwait, that's when I really things accelerated because Kuwait is alcohol free, right? Alcohol is illegal. And I remember when I signed my contract, before I signed the contract, getting in touch with someone who lived there and being like, can I get alcohol there? And she said, well, it's illegal, but it's not impossible to find. You know, you can make it. You can, it's a little bit like you can find it here if you look hard enough, basically. And then I end up in this country where alcohol is illegal and I'm like learning how to make wine and I'm like making wine in my kitchen. And then I become obsessed with trying to leave the country to party. Like I become obsessed with planning holidays where I can drink. And then I end up finding, like, I start dating people based on, you know, if they can give me access to alcohol, which is so weird. And I didn't really realize how much of a problem it was at the time because I was in it. And then I moved to Abu Dhabi, like, you know, my 2-year contract was up. I was like, I can't wait to move. Somewhere where alcohol is legal. I moved to Abu Dhabi and here it's really common for expats to like, you know, start drinking. They have brunches in Dubai where you start drinking at noon and you're drinking until 8 p.m. and then you go to the after brunch. And all of a sudden I was in this extreme, which was like a complete contrast and it just kind of accelerated things like a lot. To a point where, you know, and also here you can get, they have these ladies nights. I don't know if they have them in the UK, but they definitely didn't in Canada, but they had these ladies nights where women could drink unlimited for free, but they happen on weeknights. So then all of a sudden I'm like, okay, it's normal to get drunk on Tuesday, unlimited, you know? And so I hit a point where I was like, I really need to quit. And that was kind of, it must've been 4 years into my Middle East. So I was 20, it was a year and a half ago. And that's kind of how I ended up where I was, where I am, how I ended up quitting.
Wow, that's a very interesting story. Thank you very much for sharing. It's interesting what you were saying about when you were a teenager, you dated an older guy and drinking made you someone who was cool. And I definitely shared a very similar experience to that because I started drinking at a similar age and it definitely made me feel like I was cool. And going down the park on a Friday and Saturday night with a bottle of cider made me think, yeah, I'm one of the cool kids. And it did almost have that, give that false feeling of status just because of drinking. And it's interesting what you were saying about moving to Kuwait and not having access to any alcohol. And that almost made you want to drink even more because it wasn't available to you. So what was it that made you really decide to stop? Was there like a single pivotal moment or was it something that gradually built up over time?
Yeah, so I have struggled since I was a teenager with my mental health. I had an undiagnosed mood disorder for a long time. I had anxiety and because alcohol was so linked to my adulthood, you know, I started drinking as soon as I was like 14 or 15. I didn't really know adult life without alcohol. And I didn't realize how much alcohol was the catalyst, or not the catalyst. I don't want to say the catalyst, but it played a factor that I didn't understand. And there's this quote, I think it's Holly Whitaker, who says, drinking alcohol, it's like pouring gasoline on your anxiety. And I just didn't like understand it. I don't think it was taught or explained to me enough, like how linked what was happening in my mood was happening with what I was drinking. And it was really bad in Abu Dhabi. And I was at the point where, you know, I'm a spinning teacher. I'm a yoga teacher. I eat pretty healthy. I have a pretty, like my job in Kuwait was pretty stressful, but here I'm in a pretty good situation with like a great job. And I'm like, okay, everything in my life is great. Why am I so unhappy?
Yeah.
It's probably because I'm drinking so much and I could not stop. And there were a few moments in the last year leading up to it, in particular that stood out for me. And one of them was New Year's Eve, 2018. I was backpacking around Southeast Asia and I had booked this boat to go from Laos to Thailand and I was going to go up the Mekong River and then I was going to stay in a Laotian village on New Year's Eve. And I found out when I was boarding the boat that alcohol wasn't allowed in the village and I was pissed off. I was like, my friend, I'm going to have the worst New Year's ever, which in retrospect, it's so funny because I'm like, you know, I look back on all my New Year's and I'm like, they all sucked. You always lose something. You break a bone.
Yeah.
And really being in this little village in Laos on the bank of the Mekong River should be like the ideal New Year's. But I just could not see it. And I ended up packing like my bags full of beer and I'm getting on this boat and everyone, are you packing for like a week away? Like, and, so that was one where I was like, okay, I don't think I realized something was wrong, but I definitely was like, this is not great. And then a few months later, I was in Morocco with my mom and it was another special occasion where we were in a homestay. It was my birthday and we were hiking up the High Atlas Mountains. And again, it's like once in a lifetime experience that you're like, you should be thrilled about. And I find out that there's no alcohol in the home. And then I'm hiking up the High Atlas Mountains with a bottle of red wine in my backpack. And I'm saying to my mom, like, because my mom loves to share with people. And I'm like, Mom, do not give this to anyone. Like, this is my birthday. Do not share it. And I'm pretty sure when I was falling asleep that night, I was like, I really need to stop drinking.
Okay.
And then I had maybe 4 or 5 more nights in Morocco. So I was like, I can't quit now or my trip will be really... So I quit. It was on the plane back from Morocco to Abu Dhabi. I was like, I need to take a break. And initially it was like, I'm going to do 28 days And then I think I had a withdrawal, and probably after, you know, going through withdrawal, which was like the worst mental health thing ever. Yeah. Just like anxiety, tears, depression. I think I got to the end of that and was like, wow, I can't take 28 days off. I have to take 90 days off. And then somewhere between like 60 and 90 days, I was like, I just never want a drink again. Like I'm so much, my mood is so much more stable. And that's not to say that there aren't, you know, lows and highs, because there are, like any human experience. But yeah, no, I'm just so much more level-headed through it, through kind of life's challenges. And so I then hit a point where I was like, I'm quitting forever. And it was just no question about it, you know?
Yeah, and it sounds like it was absolutely the right decision to make. And everyone that I've spoken to on this podcast and outside of the podcast through other forums that I've met people who have stopped drinking, everyone says that it's one of the best decisions that they've ever made. And no one regrets the decision of stopping drinking, because it opens up so many doors, so many opportunities. And like you said, it doesn't mean that it's all sunshine and rainbows just because you stop drinking, but because we do still go through those ups and downs, but we're much more able to be in control of those situations when they do happen. So when you decided that you did want to stop, what were the things that you did to help you? What were the main tools that you used?
Yeah. So I decided, when I quit, I was like, I'm going to do this on my own. That lasted 5 days.
It's hard. Yeah.
It's so hard. And so I had seen 1 year no beer ads.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to join. I didn't want to join the WhatsApp group. I didn't want anyone to even see me like a 1 year no beer post. Cause I was like, I don't want anyone to know that I'm having like an issue with alcohol. And so I didn't want to join 1 year beer because I didn't want to be part of this group, which is just so ridiculous. Like the fact that I thought that people were just like looking at my Facebook being like, oh, she's like, no one cares what anyone else is doing on Facebook. But eventually, probably after a week of sobriety, I eventually caved and got 1 year no beer. And I first was on their Slack community because I didn't want to be on their Facebook community. And then I joined their Facebook group maybe on like day 8, and that in the very early days when I was having, cravings, that I would go to the page and just read the posts on the page. And that was like a saving grace for me. I also spent a lot of time at the gym. I was already really into yoga. I was already teaching yoga at that point. Like I've been teaching yoga for a long time, but I ended up doing a lot more yoga, like going to a lot more yoga classes, starting a daily sunrise yoga practice because I was like no longer hungover. I got really into, I was doing Reiki for a while. And I also, became really into like spinning. I would go to the gym. Yeah, I guess just like a lot of physical activity. My friend group kind of shifted a lot. Like a lot of my friends suddenly disappeared, that I would drink with, and that was hard. And so I kind of rebuilt like a new community of like friends from the gym. But yeah, I would say the yoga was like a key tool. Building like a positive community around me was key. Finding like-minded people, like 1 year no beer. Oh my God, the social connections are just amazing. Like after this interview, I'm actually going to have a Zoom call with a friend from 1 year no beer,
okay.
Who she watched me post for like a year. She'd been part of the group and she's around my age and just like hadn't gotten the courage to start. And then she started seeing my posts and they inspired her. And I ended up doing some sober coaching with her and now we're just friends. And, you know, she's on another continent and it's just so cool that, you know, you have these connections all over the world.
Yeah, I agree with the things that you've said. Exercise definitely makes a big difference. Being part of a community really makes a difference. Something you said before about how you didn't want other people to know that you were part of a community like 1 year no beer and you were very cautious about your activity on Facebook. Is it something that you're much more open about with now with people that you're friends with, your family, people that you know?
Oh my God. The irony is just like, it's hilarious. Like I call myself sober yoga girl now. I post about sobriety so much that I'm sure people are sick of it. The first time I ever got the courage to post something, it was on day 90. I posted my, 90 day, 1 year no beer post on my public Facebook. And I remember my, not public, it was just visible to my friends. And I remember my boyfriend at the time, he called me immediately when I posted it. And he was like, aren't you worried about this? Like, don't you think that, you could possibly lose your job over this? And so I've always had this like anxiety. Like I've now gotten into like TikTok and I TikTok about being alcohol free. And a bunch of my students found me on TikTok this past week. And it was like a fear of like, oh my God, like, is this bad? And I was speaking about it with a yoga student this morning. And she was like, honestly, like what you're doing is so wholesome. Like you're sharing with people, how to find a, even if your kids are young, like you're still showing like a life without substances. And she was like, if they're on TikTok, like that's the last thing their parents are worried about. Like in TikToks about their teacher who doesn't drink. But yeah, it was like totally something I feel is so stigmatized. And that's why I really, try to share my story a lot. And I find that people come out of the woodwork like every day messaging me on Instagram, Facebook, old acquaintances who say, my story has helped them rethink their relationship with alcohol. And some of my friends have messaged me saying they're now alcohol free. And it feels really amazing to be like part of that movement.
Yeah, I've just recently started a new job. And I did have thoughts about this podcast and not wanting to tell people, my new employer and people that I work with, because I do still think that there's a stigma. So I think the more people that can be open and honest about this, like you, then the more that we can break down those barriers and then make it easier for other people as well. So what would you say the main benefits of being alcohol free are to you?
It definitely, first and foremost, was always my mental health. That is like the biggest thing. And I say to anyone, like, obviously there's so many other factors like my genetics, my like a predisposition to having mental health struggles, but like such a big chunk of it has just been removed. And it's not even like my anxiety or my depression, but also just like the chaos and the drama and the negativity, all that stuff that happens with partying, it's just gone. Like my life is just so simple now, And so that has been huge. I also found with being sober, I just had way more like time, which I've been able to really massively put towards my passions and interests. Like I always wanted to be a full-time yoga teacher and just never thought that it was something I could possibly do. And once I became sober, I had all the evenings and weekends to focus on this. And, now I have my own business. It wouldn't have been possible if I were still drinking. And also just the money saved, like I've been able to invest all of that into like starting up my business, getting my coaching certifications. Like I've written a memoir and I'm in the editing stages and I was able to hire a book editor, and like all that stuff costs so much money that I wouldn't have had if I was just blowing it, at the bars. So.
And it's great to hear those benefits that it's had to you. And it sounds like it's been absolutely life-changing in terms of the mental health benefits, but also the lifestyle and being able to pursue your passion in life and be able to set up your own business doing something that you're interested in is an amazing achievement. And it's great that being alcohol free has helped you to be able to put the steps into place to be able to make that happen. So yeah, awesome. Well done for being brave and stopping drinking and then using that opportunity to make a better life for yourself at the end of the day. So you mentioned about yoga and how yoga helped you to stop drinking. What do you think it is about yoga that was helpful for you?
I often say in my yoga classes that our yoga practice, it's like a mirror for the way we live our lives, and the things that happen on our yoga mat, like our reactions, are a reflection of like the way we react to external events in the world, right? So like if you're doing a pose and you fall in your head, you can start thinking like, oh, I suck at this. I'm so bad at yoga. Or, you know, if you achieve it, your ego can be like, oh, I'm the best. And your yoga practice is just this opportunity to kind of like experience your full range of reactions and emotions. And, you know, you're forced to stay in a pose, even though it's super uncomfortable. You might get bored. You have to stay there. And through it, you learn how to move through your life with a bit more, like a bit less reactivity and a bit more awareness of like, what is, how much of this is, you know, the actual thing that's happening to me, and how much of is it this story I'm telling myself about it and these reactions I'm having to it. And if I can learn to be mindful on my yoga mat and kind of break down everything that's happening with, if this is just the yoga pose or if this is my reaction to it, I can like apply that skill into my life. And so it's a lot of like, I've just like learned about myself through it. And that kind of journey was happening before I was sober, but being able to come to the mat, for example, like when you have a craving, and you learn to observe that craving and observe that reaction instead of reacting to it by going and getting a drink. And then that skill can transfer when you're like, when you're not in a yoga practice, as well.
Yeah, I think you put that across brilliantly. It's definitely given me a kick up the bum to get back into practicing yoga again, because it's something that I have done before, but I haven't done it for quite a while. And I think all of those things that you've said, it's like it's being present and being mindful and practicing that skill, so that, yeah, like you said, when cravings do come along, we can learn just to surf the craving, ride the wave, and let it come and go.
Yeah. And my yoga community online, by the way, is like a massive sober society. Like, okay. It's not officially called like the sober yoga community, but sometimes I think about calling it that. And then I don't want to, cause I'm like, I don't want to exclude the people that are not sober, cause there's quite a few, you know, my friends, my colleagues, whatever, that drink alcohol. But so many of the people in my group are people I've met from One Year No Beer and people I've met on Instagram who want to be part of the sober group. And some people are open about it and some people are not. And that's okay too. And it's just, it's really beautiful to kind of have all these people from around the world. And, you know, but it's not exclusive to only sober people, by the way. It's like definitely open. So you should definitely join us for a class, because you make a lot of diverse friends.
Well, it's a really good point that you made there, that going to yoga classes is good from a physical and mental point of view, but it's also really good for meeting other like-minded people, because the kind of people that typically go to yoga sessions are people that are into fitness and well-being, and people that are into fitness and well-being are less likely to want to drink alcohol. So it's a great way to build up a support network of other people with a similar background and similar way of thinking. I'm looking forward to coming to one of your sessions in the future. I think that would be great. And so if anyone's listening who wants to come along to one of your yoga sessions, where can they find you and how can they come along?
Yeah. So I have an online virtual yoga studio. It's called the Mindful Life Practice Community, themindfullifepractice.com. And we have all of our sessions on Zoom, which at the beginning, I wasn't sure if yoga would be able to like transfer onto Zoom well. But what I love about it is that everyone comes in and they have your cameras on or their cameras off. Like some people's cameras are not on at all. But what I love is that everyone's name is in the corner and people meet each other and chat with each other and like build this awesome community of like friends all over the world. And so that's what differentiates it from like yoga on YouTube. You know, someone asked me the other day, why would I come to your class on Zoom if I could do it for free on YouTube? And I'm like, okay, well, if you just want to learn how to do the poses and you want to do like something for free on YouTube, it's a great resource. But if you want to actually connect with a community and connect with an instructor and like build relationships, that's the benefit and the beauty of Zoom. So you can book all of the sessions on our website. We have a free 2-week trial. And then the website also auto updates it to be your time zone. So like, you know, yoga at 4 p.m. in Abu Dhabi, where I am, would be noon in the UK, and the website will show that for you. And once you book it with your email address, you get a Zoom link sent to you.
Awesome. Okay. Well, hopefully there's people listening who might be interested and will come along and join you. I'm definitely interested, and I'm looking forward to coming along to one of the classes in the future. I want to find out a little bit more about your coaching that you do as well. You've mentioned already that you're a sober coach. Can you tell me what a sober coach is and how you help people?
Yes. So the journey to get into coaching is interesting, actually. How I became a coach, I was interested in going back and doing a master's in counseling. I just wasn't very happy in my job. And I actually went to see this is about a month after I got sober. I went to see a psychic. And I didn't really believe in psychics. I didn't believe in like tarot cards or any of that. But I had a colleague who said, you know, I was really down and I saw this psychic and it changed my life, so you should go. So I met this psychic in Dubai and he told me, you know, don't go back to school and get a master's. You should become a life coach. And I had never even heard of life coaching at this point. And I was like, I don't really know. And he was like, just find, you know, find a life coaching course online. And so at this point, I was a month sober. So I definitely didn't think that I was going to become a sober coach. It was not part of my, I wasn't even being open about it on social media. So I found a school that was called Life Purpose Institute. And it was coaching around, finding your life purpose, finding life balance. And I did two coaching certifications, like my level one and my level two. And I kind of put myself out there as a life purpose coach on the internet. And 9 out of 10 of the people that came to me were people that wanted to reevaluate their relationship with alcohol, because at this point I was posting about it on social media. And so I was basically a sober coach without knowing it. And I coached someone at work who then wrote me a letter. I coached him and he did like 90 days alcohol free. And he wrote me a letter, and at the end of the letter, it said, thanks for saving my life. And he dropped it off at work, and I opened it up. I think this was in July. And I opened it up and I just cried. And I was like, I'm a sober coach. And as soon as I identified myself as that, and I identified my work as in sobriety, it just like took off like that. Like I went from having, you know, a couple clients to being fully booked. And now I'm also working full time. Still, I've had to like limit the amount of clients I can take at a time. But I run a sober community as well called Sober Girls Yoga, which is a group coaching session. And we meet once a week. It's women from all over the world. And we also have Sober Girls Yoga classes, which includes like a check-in and then a yoga practice. So I do that, and I work one-on-one with individuals as well. And the individual coaching can really take whatever direction and whatever form the individual needs. So sometimes I work with people and it's just like, you know, they're trying to get through their first 90 days. And it's really just about like, you know, how do I navigate social interactions? How do I navigate, you know, telling people that I'm sober, having a little bit of encouragement, having the accountability to come back to me every time and say, you know, I'm still sober. And then for some people, the coaching can be very much like I'm working with someone now who they've been sober for, I don't know how long, like 6 months. They've already been sober for a while. And for them, it's just like helping them move forward with the next step in their business and like developing a project and moving through that. And then for some individuals, like I ended up coaching someone who it was a lot of like relationship coaching. And so it kind of takes the form of like whatever the person needs. But the commonality that we share is our sober journey. And because I've kind of walked the path of sobriety, like it will show up in kind of whatever's happening in the individual's life. So yeah, that is the sober work I do. And I absolutely love it. It's funny because I thought, you know, I want to be a life purpose coach. I want to help people find their life purpose. But the reality is like you find life purpose, you find life balance, like once you find sobriety. Yeah. And so it's like all connected.
It sounds like an amazing thing. And it's great how it well, first of all, happened by a bit of a coincidence and by serendipity, and then it's something that's grown organically into what it is now. And it sounds like you're doing great things and helping lots of people, and having that one-to-one coaching to achieve something definitely makes a big difference. So if there are people who are listening who want to get in touch with you for one-to-one coaching, how can they find you? Is it the same website, or is it a different place to go?
Yeah. So that's kind of been evolving. I had a separate website for it in the summer. It was alexmcgrobs.com, and that still exists. But what I've realized is that many of my coaching clients are also integrated into my yoga community, or want to be, or want to explore meditation. And I've realized that it's actually quite related. And so I've brought it back onto the Mindful Life Practice platform. So it's just like a tab at the top, like coaching with me. And I can also, if you go onto my website, Alex McGrobs, like I have a blog there, and that's like much more sober focused. But for simplicity, I can also be found on the Mindful Life Practice website at the top. And if you go on there, you can book a free 30-minute clarity call with me, and then you can go from there.
Awesome. So yeah, anyone who's listening, if you want to get into yoga, then go and check out Alex's website. Or if you want some help with becoming sober and giving up alcohol, then check her out, and a free 30-minute call, which is an amazing offer. So yeah, take advantage of it. The final question that I want to ask you is, for what advice would you give for anyone else who is starting the journey? So someone who might just be thinking about stopping at the moment, what advice would you give to them of how they can actually go about becoming alcohol free?
I would say for myself, there were years and years of like, I really want to quit. I don't know how. I want to cut back. I want to drink less. And what changed for me, people often ask, like, what changed between all the other times you tried to quit and then the time you were successful? And what changed was that I drew this line in the sand, you know, and I was like, I don't drink anymore. I no longer drink. I'm a non-drinker. And it was all about this mindset shift where I never questioned that decision to say no. And I would say, just kind of immerse yourself in as much as you can, like as many books, as many communities, find as many supports, because once you find other people on the path, like it's much easier to walk, you know, alongside others than alone.
Absolutely. Great advice. I think you have to be 100% committed to it and not give yourself any allowances for stepping back over that line. Once we are fully committed to something, and when we do have a community that we can be part of, then it becomes so much easier. Alex, thank you so much for coming on to today's podcast. It's been lovely and wonderful to speak to you and hear about your journey. So thank you very much.
Thank you for having me. It was so wonderful to meet you.
Thanks very much for listening, everyone. I hope you enjoyed that interview as much as I did. If you'd like to find out more about Alex, her yoga classes, or her sober coaching, you can visit her websites, which are themindfullifepractice.com and alexmcgrobs.com. And I'll leave both of those links in the show notes. That's it for today, and I will catch you next time.